And all God's people said,
Amen.
Amen. Woo. You may be seated. Let's pray. Our Lord and Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you that we can come here today to worship our risen Christ. Oh, Lord Jesus, we thank you that as we come here today, that we are so reminded of all that you have done for us. The cost of your life being poured out on the cross, your lifeblood shed for us, so that we could know that freedom from sin, from death. Oh, Lord, we thank you that you rose from the grave on the third day. We thank you that you showed us the way, the truth, and the life. You brought us to life by rising from the dead. And Lord Jesus, we come here today to praise your holy name, to lift you high, to exalt you as our risen Lord. And Lord, we come as your people. We know, Lord, that we've come from all kinds of burden, carrying all kinds of burdens, carrying all kinds of struggles through the past weeks. And Lord, we do thank you that as we come here today, that we can lay all those burdens down. We can lay all those concerns at your feet at the cross. And we can know that because you have gone the way of the cross for us, that you've carried all of our burdens, all of our sorrows. You carry them now. And Lord, as we put our faith and our hope and our trust in you every day, we know, Lord, that your resurrection power is ours, that you rise us up above the concerns, the cares, the struggles, that you fill us with your strength, you fill us with your presence, you fill us with your love, so that we can know that you are with us, that we serve a risen Savior, and that you're in this world today, that you walk with us every day. And so, Lord Jesus, we come here and we celebrate today just the goodness, your goodness, your grace to us. Oh, amazing grace. And Lord, we come today and we desire to for your Spirit to just now move among us, opening our hearts, opening our minds to be reminded, Lord, not only through all the songs and the expressions of our love towards you, but Lord, that through this time now of studying your word, that you would indeed speak to us through your Spirit. So Lord, we take a few moments now just to quieten ourselves, and as Mary and John and Peter and the disciples on the road to Emmaus had to just be quiet and in those times of waiting, not knowing what would come, Lord, we just are reminded today that, Lord, in the quietness is when you come and speak to us. So, Lord, quieten our hearts right now as we take a few moments just to sit in silence, silent awe and wonder at what you will speak into us today. We pray these things now in quiet and stillness. Lord, speak to us. Continue to reveal to us the words of life as we focus now on your resurrection power. Your resurrection, how the resurrection touches our lives, opens us up to be able to receive from you that life that you have given to us. Oh Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be pleasing and acceptable unto you, and may each one of us, Lord, hear you speak. In Jesus' name, amen. Have you ever had a time where you've had something really unexpected happen to you? How well did you do when the unexpected showed up in your life suddenly? Well, I remember many, many years ago now, it's a number of years ago now, on the Easter weekend, I was sitting down in the evening just watching, I think it was a hockey game actually, relaxing the night before Easter Sunday. And all of a sudden, upstairs, in the back, just outside the back door in our carport, I heard some noise. And I didn't think about it at all. I thought it might be an animal or something. And then all of a sudden, I heard what sounded like the car starting. And I quickly ran upstairs, opened up the back door, stepped outside just in time to see my van backing out of the driveway. And I started shouting at the occupants that were in there, and I startled the two occupants, and I started running towards the van. I don't know what I was thinking. I was in my bare feet. You know, I was in my sleep pants, just, you know, ready to go. And I started running towards the van, and they were startled. They put the van in gear, and they just started booting down the street. They didn't even stop at the stop sign at the end of our street, and they went right through, and they were gone. I didn't know what to think. I ran back into the house. I went to the phone. I called 911. It was just a pure adrenaline at that point going. And so I called, and the operator that I got at the police station, the dispatcher, I was frantically trying to explain to her that, you know, someone had just stolen my car and they were heading down the road. And she said, stop. I've got a call coming in from a unit coming in, patrol unit. They're reporting in something. And she said, hold on. And she listened, and the patrol unit, she said, had just apprehended two suspects in a stolen van. And she said, what street were you on? Bridge Street. Okay, yes, that's them. We got them. Wow, what an unexpected miracle of timing. And as I was still on the phone, kind of getting my heart back into my chest, she said, yeah, what had happened was there was a patrol officer, a unit, coming towards, on the same street as us, moving towards our street, our end of the street, when he saw this van coming towards him. The interior lights of the van were on, but there were no headlights. And the two occupants were kind of frantic, and they were driving pretty fast. So we thought, well, you know, I think I should stop this vehicle. And so he had swung around and come in behind. And just then, they were starting to speed up again when another patrol unit was coming down from another street, just an intersection just not too far away, and they were able to box them in and get them. What an unexpected event to happen. I got there about 5 minutes later. I walked up the street. I didn't have a vehicle at that point, so I had to walk up the street. It took me 5 minutes to get there. I learned all of this. And it was just like, whoa. What an unexpected thing to happen on Easter weekend. You know, when unexpected things happen to us, you know, we're left shaken, I was shaken. We're kind of left bewildered. What was really going on? We start feeling overwhelmed. We might even feel a little frightened. You know, that did shake us up for a little while after that. You know, when you have something stolen from you, it really shakes you. You just realize how vulnerable you are. Frightened. At a loss to understand why would this have to happen to us? Why would these two teenage girls, age 16, why would they do this to us? They just wanted to have some fun on Easter weekend. You know, sometimes we're left wondering why. What's going on? You know, I never tire of listening to the stories of Easter. The stories about Jesus' resurrection. You know, I can relate so much to the disciples as they faced what was for them a totally unexpected event in their lives. They didn't know that this was going to happen. You know, and for them it was, you know, when I think of the story of Mary, Peter, and John at the tomb, it was for them a real adrenaline rush as well. The heart started pumping. You know, when Mary and the women went to the tomb that Easter Sunday morning, all they expected was that they were going to go and that they were going to take the spices and they were going to anoint Jesus' body. They didn't expect that when they got there that the tomb would be opened and that Jesus' body would be gone. In this unexpectedness, they ran back to the other disciples. All the women, they ran back because they didn't know what to think. They didn't know how to respond to this, so they ran back to the other disciples. They started telling them, they've taken the Lord out of the tomb. We don't know where they've put him. It was just pure emotion. They were functioning on pure emotion because of the unexpectedness of what was happening. And then the men, the other disciples, you know, they started talking amongst them, "Whoa, what's going on here? Did the women go to the right tomb?" You know, guys, that's what they'd probably start thinking. Did they go to the right place? We got to go see this for ourselves. So Peter and John, what did they do? They sprinted to the tomb. Again, sheer energy, a burst of energy. They got to the tomb, and when John got there first, he paused before he went in because he saw, yes, this is the tomb that where his body was placed. This is the place. So what is actually going on? He paused, but Peter pushed right by him. You know, impetuous Peter pushed right through, went in, started looking around, and saw the empty grave clothes, and he didn't know what to make of it. His mind hadn't caught up to his body yet. Just like me when I was running after those thieves in my bare feet, thinking, well, what am I going to do if I catch them, you know? But it just, it's our mind, our body just goes first and our mind. So Peter was there, but then John, when he came in, he saw the grave clothes. He realized, I see this. I see what's happening. And I believe that Jesus has risen. And we all have a different response to what happens when something unexpected happens in our life. You know, some of the other disciples, Mary, you know, when she finally caught up to them again at the tomb, you know, Peter and John were just coming out, but Mary, you know, she looked at them for an answer. They just kind of shook their heads and walked by, and there was Mary. left alone at the tomb again. Left alone, wondering and weeping, not knowing what had happened, not knowing how to respond. When the disciples Peter and John got back to the other disciples, they told the story, and then Luke records the story of what happens next. As some of the disciples just they couldn't handle it, they had to go, they had to head home. They had to try to find a place where they could process everything that was going on. And Luke tells us the story of two disciples on the road to Emmaus, where that we had read for us just a few moments ago. Luke 24, 13 to 17 tells us that now that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened, and as they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them, but they were kept from recognizing him. He asked them, "What are you discussing together as you walk along?" And what's really, what really stands out for me is this last statement. They stood still. Their faces were downcast. They were trying to process it all. They were trying to process this unexpected turn of events as Jesus met them on that Emmaus road. The two disciples, well, they were heading home. They were discussing this incredible turn of events. They were trying to process all the questions that were going on inside them. They were trying to help each other figure it all out. They had put their hope and their trust in Jesus. And now they were wondering, had they put their trust in the right person? Had they believed in him? They had believed that he was the Messiah. They had taken him at his word when he claimed to be the one who had sent from the Father. They had followed him and believed his declaration in Luke chapter 4, verses 18 and 19, where he had said, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed, and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." They were trusting him. They were trusting that he had that mission, that he was the Savior, the Messiah. They'd put their hope and trust in Jesus. They had believed that he had come to proclaim the kingdom, and they had followed him. They had followed him along the royal road to the gates of the city of Jerusalem, where the crowds had proclaimed him their prophet king. They had followed him, and their hopes and their dreams had been fanned into flame, and their hearts had been burning with joy because they knew that this was the Messiah. But then their hearts had been crushed. Their hearts had been crushed because the teachers of the law, the scribes, the Pharisees, the rulers of the people had turned the hearts of the people against Jesus over the last week. And they had arrested him. They'd tried him. They'd handed him over to the Romans to be scourged and to be crucified. They rejected him. They rejected Jesus as their prophet, king, Messiah. Why? Because he had challenged their hearts to see where their allegiance lay. He had challenged their position as leaders of the people. He had challenged them to consider their practices of the law and to reconsider their relationship with God. They had rejected him because they couldn't see who he was. And they chose their own way. They chose their own agenda. They rejected Jesus. Now Jesus' disciples were, their hearts were heavy. They had their doubts. They had their fears as they were walking on that road to Emmaus. They questioned, did we put our faith in someone who couldn't deliver, who couldn't redeem us? It was a dark night for them as they were walking to Emmaus. You know, whenever I reflect on these stories, I see the beauty in them. The beauty of the stories of Jesus' resurrection is that they're real life stories of how people responded when the unexpected happened. Now, the question that it also brings to my mind is how many of us here today will admit that, you know, when we've had our doubts, we've had our doubts that, you know, at what we've heard about Jesus. You know, the stories that we've heard, the gospel that, you know, how could all of this be true? How could all of this be real? How could Jesus have been for us? How can Jesus be for us our Redeemer, our Savior? How many have you ever had doubts? Ever had those times, even after you've put your faith in Christ, that you've gone through difficulties, you've gone through struggles, you've gone through all kinds of dark nights, and all of a sudden you come to that place where it's like, is he real? Is he really true? Is he really my Savior? You know, in all the things that I've been discovering as I've been working through my spiritual direction internship over these past number of months, is that every one of us, every single one of us here today will have those times. We will have those times of doubt. We'll have those times of questioning, of feeling like these disciples on the road to Emmaus. We had put our hope and our trust, and where is he right now? Where is he? We're in a time of desolation, darkness, discouragement, feeling abandoned. We'll all go through those times. We'll all go through those times. You know, the disciples are like you and me. They had their hard time anchoring their faith in Jesus when in those early morning hours and as it stretched into the afternoon, they didn't see and they didn't know what was going to happen next. They had a hard time maintaining their faith when they had saw what they had seen. They had witnessed the suffering and the death of Jesus on the cross. They didn't yet fully understand that their Messiah had to suffer and had to die. And even though Jesus had told them on many occasions that he was going to be rejected, they did not fully comprehend what that meant. That is until they met Jesus, or they saw Jesus face to face. You know, when the women had told them that he had risen, that he had, they had a hard time believing it because they couldn't see the evidence. They needed to verify the truth. And how many of us have found ourselves in that place as well, struggling to believe because we can't see Jesus right now. We can't feel Jesus' presence right now. Well, we all go through those times like these disciples. We can't see him, so we struggle to believe the truth about the resurrection. That Jesus was the rejected Messiah. That his rejection and his rejection, you know, that causes a lot of problems for his disciples. It causes a lot of problems for us at times. Because sometimes we feel like rejecting him too. You know, the disciples' hearts, they were broken. Their emotions were raw. They had lots of questions. And then Jesus. What's really amazing is then Jesus came alongside of them. Jesus came alongside of them, and they didn't recognize him at first. They didn't recognize him at all. And isn't that so true of us when we're going through that dark night, when we're going through that time of unexpected things, when we just don't have the answers and we just don't feel his presence? You know what? Jesus is still there. He's coming along. He comes alongside of us and he walks with us. And it may be in the form of someone, maybe someone else that comes alongside of us who has a word of encouragement for us that speaks into our life. Starts speaking into our life those words that help to refocus us. But, you know, Jesus comes alongside of us. Came alongside of his disciples. And at first, they didn't recognize it. But then, Jesus did something. You know, now let's go back to Mary for a moment before we come to these, what happened with these men, these people on the road to to Emmaus. You know, it's so amazing how in those times of darkness, Jesus does come to us. And this is what happened with Mary. With Mary. When Mary remained weeping at the tomb, she saw two angels and she saw a man that she thought was the gardener. Again, didn't recognize Jesus at first. Didn't recognize him at all. Thought he was the guy who trimmed the bushes, polished the stones on the tombs. And so with much emotion she asked if he knew where Jesus' body had been taken, thinking that if anybody knew anything, it would be the one who was the looking after this whole garden area. And as she talked with him, reached out, pleaded with him to give her some information, to help her in some way, Jesus just looked at her. He looked at her. And he simply said to her one word, her name, Mary. Mary. You know, in our times of darkness and distress, when we're wondering what's going on, when that time in between the desolation of Jesus' death, or a death of something that's dying inside of us, when we're in that those moments between desolation and consolation, Jesus is there for us. And if we just turn our attention towards Him and seek Him, He just has to say one word to us. Our name. It just breathes life into us. Are you listening in those times for Jesus just to speak your name? Oh, when Mary heard His name, her name, come from the words of this stranger in the garden. That was all she needed. That was all she needed to hear. She looked at Him and she knew that it was Jesus. She knew. She looked at Him. Her eyes were now open. And she called out to Him, Rabbi, teacher, shepherd of my soul. It's You. You're risen. In that instant, all of her grief, her fears, her despair was taken away, filled with joy. And she ran back to the place where they were staying to tell everyone, that Jesus was risen. And now we come back to these men, these disciples on the open road to Emmaus. You know, their experience was much like Mary's experience, only it took a little while for them to catch on. Mary was a little quicker, I think. But as Jesus walked along with these disciples, he asked them what they were talking about. He engaged them in a conversation, and Cleopas couldn't understand why this stranger didn't know what had been going on in Jerusalem. You know, sometimes when we're in that place of despair, that place of desolation before consolation comes, before our resurrection happens, and we really get what resurrection is that in consolation, we have those times of questioning, and it's okay for us to question. It's okay for us to ask Jesus, what's going on? Or just to even pour out to Him, what's going on in your heart? Like these disciples did, they poured out their heart. They started sharing everything they knew about their rejected Jesus. They said, oh, He was a prophet. He was powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. Their chief priests and our rulers handed Him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified Him. But we had hoped that He was the one who was going to redeem us, redeem Israel. We had hoped. But now our hopes have been crushed. Isn't it amazing? I don't know about you, but isn't it amazing when we just pour out our hearts in those times of desolation, when we pour out our hearts to Jesus, that He comes near. He draws near to us because He's the risen Lord. He's the risen Lord who knows our hearts, knows the desolations of our hearts. Jesus listened generously. And then He responded to their downcast heart. He said, oh, you foolish people, how slow of heart to believe that all the prophets had spoken. Did not the Christ have to suffer these things and then enter His glory? And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, He explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning Him. Basically, You know, when Jesus came alongside of them, he said, you know, let me tell you a little story about a man named Jesus. Starting with Moses and the prophets, he opened up to them the scriptures. He brought to their remembrance all the things that were written, that Jesus had taught them, that he had taught them, that he had shown them. All those things that they didn't know were hidden in their hearts. But as Jesus began to speak these things, their hearts began to catch fire. Oh, he shared with them Isaiah 53, verses 3 to 6, that he was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and familiar with suffering, like one from whom men hid their faces. He was despised and he was esteemed not. But surely he took up our infirmities and carried our sorrows, yet we considered him stricken by God, smitten by him, and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds we are healed. For all we all like sheep have gone astray. Each one has turned to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. You know, as he reminded these disciples of all of these things, as Jesus explained to them everything in the Old Testament concerning his ministry, his purpose for dying on the cross, something began to stir in their hearts. You know, I can just imagine. Can you imagine what it must have been like as they were walking with Jesus, listening to Jesus confirm the truth about his life, his death, and to prepare their hearts for what was next, his resurrection? Well, their hearts were burning. They were taking it all in. It was like a CD or a DVD was being burned with all this information, all this these things about Jesus, and everything that he had taught them was being imprinted deeply on their hearts, bringing them, their desolate hearts, back to life with these consoling words. And as they approached Emmaus, they wanted to spend more and more time with this man, this stranger that they did not know, but who was speaking words of life into them. They didn't want the stranger to leave. So what did they do? They invited them to stay with them. Stay with them. You know, when we invite Jesus to make his home in us, to stay with us in those times, he's willing. He's willing to stay with us. And not only that, but he's willing to reveal himself to us. What is our desire? What is our desire? Oh, the desire of those disciples was for more of this man. As they sat down for the meal together, this stranger then broke the bread, took the bread, broke it, and passed it out to them. And as he did, what happened? Oh my goodness, their eyes were opened and they recognized him. They recognized him for who he was. Unexpectedly, here was Jesus. And they, oh my goodness, as they were all of a sudden just so taken back again. He disappeared from their sight. Just as quickly as he had appeared on the road, now he disappeared again. But this time they understood why their hearts had been rekindled when he had spoken to them on the road. This stranger was Jesus. He had indeed risen from the dead. He was alive, and he could bring their dead hearts alive to him, in him. And they were so alive that now they took a midnight run. They were so filled with the presence of Jesus, his resurrected presence, that they were now filled with a new source of energy, and they ran all the way back to Jerusalem to tell the others that they had seen the risen Christ. Remember, it was 7 miles? They ran 7 miles at night not too good territory, but they didn't care. They wanted to get back to tell everybody what they had seen. Oh, what an amazing adventure that was just beginning for these disciples. For no sooner had they arrived back in Jerusalem when Jesus came among them, all of the disciples who were gathered together in a locked room, and he revealed himself to them, encouraging them not to doubt, not to fear, but to be at peace. Resurrection! Resurrection! Luke 24, 45 to 49 says this. This is when, as Jesus met with his disciples, he confirmed his resurrection to them. He said, "This is what I told you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms." Then he opened their minds so they could understand the scriptures. He told them, "This is what is written. The Christ will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance and forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And you, my friends, you are my witnesses of these things. And I'm going to send you what my Father has promised. But here's the thing. Stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high, so that you can be my Holy Spirit-empowered witnesses to the truth that I am alive." Amen. Whew. You know, we're told that Jesus opened their mind to understand the scriptures. And oh, you know, when we see Jesus in our times of desolation, and we reach out to him, and he just ask him to pour into us that life-giving word, well, he opens our minds to be able to see things in a whole different way with a whole bunch of joy. You know, Jesus had to suffer and die and rise from the dead. He had to die. He had to go through desolation so that we could have the consolation of the resurrection. And that's our spiritual journey too. Jesus said forgiveness would be preached in his name. You know, desolation to consolation would bring forgiveness of our sins. A whole new start to a relationship with God the Father. You know, this is the essence of the gospel. This is what we believe today. We believe in the suffering of a rejected Messiah. We believe in the power of a resurrected, risen Messiah. And we recognize today, as we've been singing about already this morning, we recognize that Jesus is our living Messiah, our King of Kings, our Lord of Lords, the Savior and Redeemer of our life. Amen? You know, and when Jesus revealed himself to his disciples, he gave his disciples a special mission. A special mission. They were to be his witnesses. Witnesses of the resurrection of Jesus. To proclaim Jesus Christ was dead, he was crucified, he was buried, but now he is alive, and he can be alive in you as he's alive in me. Jesus gave his disciples that special mission. And you know, we too, as his modern day disciples, have been given that same mission. We are to be his witnesses, witnesses of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We have some good news to share. Amazing news to share. You know, in Easter is all about good news. You know, when Mary saw Jesus, oh, she couldn't contain herself. Oh, she couldn't contain herself. Oh, she felt so loved, so touched by Jesus and his resurrection. And when Cleopas and the other disciples recognized Jesus, they couldn't keep the news to themselves. They just had to share it. And over the next 40 days, as they met with Jesus in the resurrected Jesus many different times, many more people came to know Jesus. Many more people were touched by their lives. And on the 40 days later at Pentecost, when the disciples were meeting together in the upper room, where they were waiting like Jesus had told them to wait for the outflowing of the Holy Spirit, the inpouring of the Holy Spirit. There were 120 in that room. 12 to 120? Well, 12 to 72 to 120. Well, you know, the multiplication was starting because the good news was being shared. They were taking up their Holy Spirit-empowered mission to be witnesses for Jesus. So that when the Spirit of God came with power upon the disciples, they were willingly, they boldly stood up in the middle of Jerusalem and proclaimed the rejected, risen, and recognized Christ. Peter, on that day, stood up and proclaimed these words in Acts chapter 2, verses 22 to 39. He said, "Men of Israel, listen to this. Jesus of Nazareth was a man accredited by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs, which God did among you through him, as you yourself know. This man was handed over to you by God's set purpose and foreknowledge, and you, with the help of wicked men, put him to death by nailing him to the cross. But God raised him from the dead, freeing him from the agony of death, because it was impossible for death to keep its hold on him. For God raised this Jesus to life, and we are all witnesses of that fact. Exalted to the right hand of God, he has received from the Father the promised Holy Spirit and has poured out what you now see and hear. Therefore, let all Israel, every one of you, be assured of this. God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ." Amen? Amen. You know, as Peter proclaimed this message of the risen Christ, oh, he was acting in the power of the Holy Spirit as a Holy Spirit-empowered witness. And did you catch what was in his message? The essence of the gospel, the three R's, rejected, resurrected, recognized as both Lord and Christ. You know, that if we don't remember any other words, remember those three words, because they open up the whole gospel. As we seek to be Christ's witnesses of the resurrection. You know, this is the gospel that we believe about Jesus. This is why we are so filled today with joy on this Easter Sunday. You know, the reality is that for as many as received him, John said, to those who recognized him, to those who believed on his name, he gives the right to become children of God. And that is, as John says in 1 John chapter 3, that is who we are. Because of what Christ has done for us in his resurrection. We are his people, and he has given us a message of salvation to take to the nations. And you know, when Peter stood up and proclaimed the truth about Jesus' death and resurrection, and they were bold in that proclamation, what happened? People were cut to the heart. People were ready to receive that message, even though You know, today we look around us and we go, well, we're in a world that doesn't want to really listen to who Jesus is. You know what? There's a whole bunch of people out there who are ready to receive the message and will be cut to the heart if we just proclaim the resurrected Christ to them. Share how Jesus has come and met us in our times of desolation and brought that consolation of resurrection to our life. And when Peter stood up, people were cut to the heart. Acts 2:37-39 says, when people heard this, they were cut to the heart, and they said to Peter and the other apostles, what shall we do? What shall we do? And Peter replied, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. And you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and for your children and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call. Is God calling you today? Is God calling you today? What is your response? What is your response to all the things that we've talked about today, about the rejected, risen, and recognize Christ? Do you recognize Christ today? You know, we celebrate the empty tomb, the fact that Christ is risen from the dead. We are celebrating today the reality of the risen Jesus today. And you know, each one of us, if we haven't already made that choice, each one of us must make that choice and respond to who Jesus is. Is he your Messiah? Has he become for you the rejected and then risen from the dead Messiah? Have you recognized him as the Lord of your life? If not, I would encourage you today to respond to his offer of salvation. Receive him by acknowledging him as the risen Lord who died for your sins. Open your heart and receive his forgiveness. I encourage you today, if you've not received him, receive the risen Christ into your heart today. Because this is why he came and he died on the cross. He came and died for you today. You know, if you're here today and you've already received Christ, if you've already recognized and acknowledged Jesus as the risen Savior of your life, then be filled with joy. Be renewed in hope and be empowered by the fullness of the risen Christ, alive and well and living in your heart today. For Christ is risen. And you know, this is your part, okay? He is risen indeed. Well, so let's, you know, we rehearsed it earlier on. It was a little week, a little bit earlier on at the beginning of the service. But right now, let's say this as if we really mean it, okay? As we say this, we declare today that we are standing with the risen Christ. For Christ is, oh, hold on, everybody stand up. We got to stand up for this, okay? For Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Amen. Let's pray. Our Lord and Heavenly Father, as we, oh Lord, as we just reflect on all these things that we've been hearing today from you, I pray, Lord, that you would just take our hearts, hold them in your loving hands, your nail-scarred hands, hands that have been restored, and hands that are strong again. Strong enough to hold us. through the difficult times, the challenging times, the unexpected times of our lives. But Lord, we're able to see you and know the power of your resurrection. Even in our desolations, you come and bring words of consolation and hope, and you empower us with your resurrection power. Oh Lord, may you just lead us and guide us from this place today, filled to overflowing with the fullness, all the fullness that we have in Christ Jesus, our risen Savior. And we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.